You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7. Crews in the building. My man Jay Moore staring off into the distance. How are you, sir?
Doing well. You know, I'm full of holiday cheer.
Is that it?
Yippee. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You sure?
I mean, why not? Even though, like, you know, it's different when, you know, you just
don't strike
adult.
Me as a Christmas carol person.
You know what? I love Christmas music. I really do.
Okay.
That comes my dad, who would hook up, like, basically Christmas mixtapes.
Oh, I ain't mad at that.
And,
I'm not mad at that.
You know, that was a big deal in our house to have Christmas. You know, we'd have people over. And
I'm not mad at it.
You know. I mean, what's really wild is we found out, like, my cousin didn't know the Temptations version of Silent Night. You know, the part where, you know, everybody else be like, in my mind.
Gotta
and
know
like,
that.
She was like, what is this? And we're like,
bless her
how
heart.
Did you miss out on it? But,
you gotta put your people on game, though.
You know, put but, your people on game. And plus it, you know, one of my establishments, I create the playlist. And, yeah, they gotta run through. If we're going to have some Christmas music, we're not just going to be doing.
I know somebody that knows.
No, you're going to hear. These James Brown and the Manhattans, you're going to hear the soulful Christmas vibes.
Lone, what are you? First of all, hey, buddy, how are you?
Doing all right, man. How are you?
Doing pretty good, man. In terms of Christmas cheer for you, you have any like ink standout joints that you like to listen to?
Yeah. The Home Alone soundtrack.
You knew that was coming.
I was hoping he'd still say something else. All right, I like that one. That's cool.
That's the main that I would probably go
to.
You
like a little Burl Ives?
Yeah.
A little Peggy Lee?
Yeah, for sure.
It makes me feel, makes me reminiscent of Christmas when I was little.
I ain't mad at that. My man DJ J Div, what's happening, man?
Salutations.
Everything good?
Yes, sir.
Got an idea what type of criminal music you like, so I ain't gonna play with you, I ain't gonna mess with you. I think I know where you at.
Okay.
I'm sure where you're going with that.
Right.
Thanks for the conversation.
I'm a little confused, too.
Yeah. All right.
The reason I'm saying that is because I know he has good taste in music, and that's seasonal as well. So I ain't going to worry about it.
I mean, I didn't celebrate
it. Exactly. I thought you was just about to be dig into religion.
Which makes the compliment that much better. That,
I mean,
that shows how cold.
He don't
to
know
be
anything
honest
about Christmas
though.
Music.
No, I do. That's what's crazy.
If he
crazy.
Did, then
so,
thank
like,
you. If he did, the answer words. Would be Home Alone.
I mean, it's kind of hard to avoid.
Yeah, I mean, my mother took us to see Home Alone on that Thanksgiving break, I think, when it came out.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, I know Christmas music by default because, I mean, you couldn't get away.
Donnie.
Absolutely. I mean
that's just
on
how,
the radio.
That's how, I mean, look, Kenny G got two Christmas albums and he's Jewish. Yeah. And so you're just going to know the record.
And both of them probably slap and sell.
Listen, the Jackson 5 made a whole Christmas album.
And they was down with the religion.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
A whole
song.
Said
Santa Claus was kissing their mama.
Hey,
you think Joe was about that action.
Come
so
on, man.
Santa Claus is going to have to catch his fade.
Hey, low key, you hear that every year in the stores. I saw Mommy Kiss the Santa Claus, Jackson version. You're going to hear it in every store.
Yeah, man.
All right, let's get to it.
We're talking OGs.
Yes.
We're talking OG, a legendary OG status, triple OGs. You know, when the OGs speak, I tend to listen when OGs speak.
Do you?
Yeah, I try to listen to the OGs and give them their just due. Until they steer me down the wrong path or they just talk about something that don't make sense. But KRS-One, he basically broke down why he did not rock with the Grammys 50-year tribute. And it was basically based off who they've been all the way up until this point. So why would he go there to celebrate it now? So in some of the comment sections, you see people saying, well, there's only one 50th. But you only get this one time. There won't be another 50th. So even if you're frustrated with the Grammys and what they've been and what they've stood for and how hip hop has been marginalized and all that, you still might want to just pop up, just be a part of it. And I think Hammer also said he wasn't rocking with it as well, if I'm not mistaken.
I think I can understand.
You can understand Hammer more than KRS-One?
I can understand Hammer more than KRS-One.
But what do you think about KRS-One basically holding them accountable and not, I guess, going for the okie doke and just showing up at the performance? Because it would have been dope if he would have been there. Right
or
wrong.
It would have been. But the thing is, like, look, I understand at one point, yes, the Grammys were very, and they still are. They still have their cultural blind spots, but that's just what's going to happen with something that is not dedicated 100% to hip hop. Okay.
Okay.
But when you watch that show and you see those performances and you see how they honored people, not just people who had big hits, but had cultural impact within the within hip hop, you know, the Native Tongues part, the fact that they closed the show with DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, not doing Summertime, not doing Parents Just Don't Understand, but doing Brand New Funk, that speaks to, you know,
I think they ended on Summertime, though.
But this is the thing with, it was curated by people of the culture. LL okay. Cool J and Questlove, they're the ones who were, it's not like there was some guy in a suit and tie who was trying to say, okay, hey, what can we do here to make people who don't like hip hop at all feel included? I understand why he says, okay, the Grammys have gotten it. We've talked about how the Grammys have gotten it wrong.
Yeah, but KRS-One's going to have, he's old enough to have been around all of the BS. So this is a lot of stuff, whatever you want to, however you want to deem it, but he's been around so long, all this is probably built up in him. You see what I'm saying?
I get it. I do get it because, you know, there's some things that, you know, when KRS probably should have been at least nominated for something, he was ignored. You know, and so I can understand where it's like, look, don't ignore my cultural contributions and yeah. then invite me to sell and don't have a Grammy celebration and invite me to perform
right.
when you've never nominated me, never asked me to present, never do. So I get it.
Right.
But at the same time, like if I'm in that situation, the people who ask me if LL Cool J, if Questlove, if they ask me to come and participate because we want to honor you, sometimes you got to think larger than your beefs and the petty thing, like, because at the same time I just wanted to be around my friends and peers, you know, to be around new and old, to be around Jazzy Jeff, Fresh Prince, LL Cool J, De La Soul, Rakim, The Roots. The fact that they had Boosie on there, who they would never invite to the regular Grammys,
that was big though, because
you have to acknowledge the cultural impact of Boosie, whether you like him or not.
That's facts.
You know,
that's
for facts. Them to have that mindset, it's like, okay, I get it. The Grammys have gotten it wrong. Maybe they were wrong for not televising, you know, our category the first year. They made it up the next year when they gave Young MC his award. But while I understand the moral stance that you have, it's like, man, come on, man, just come as, and maybe KRS is not one of them dudes who's just wanted to party and kick it with people, even if they're his peers, people he respects. So I get it from both sides. But like, if it was me, man, I'd have gone on to the show and performed and been on national TV and pumped up my streaming numbers. I'd have gone ahead and tried to work it into my
favor.
In my favor, you know. Do I respect his moral stance? In a way, I do. But at the same time, it's like when people of your peer group say, we want to acknowledge you, we want to show love to you, where there have been these cultural blind spots where they have not gotten it right in a way that's, this is them trying to, I mean, you talk about it. I know he said this whole thing about exploitation and said, mm-hmm. Look, anytime you're on TV and they're selling advertisements on your behalf, you're being exploited, you know, in a certain way.
Right.
You know, if Don was there, he would have showed up.
He didn't try to knock Prince B out.
No,
I'm sorry. Is Prince B still alive? Gone. I'm sorry. Prince B. I get it, KRS-One, but it would have been nice to see you there. You know, it would have been nice to see you there dapping it up with Rakim and Pasta Noose and maybe even Boosie, man. You know, you don't know. Boosie might be a fan.
I ain't going to hold you. That's gold. That picture, KRS-One and Boosie.
KRS-One and Boosie, that would have been incredible.
What you think, Terry? What you think about KRS's opinion on it?
I mean, I can see it both ways, but at the end of the day, it was an opportunity to showcase your contribution to hip hop to those that don't know necessarily what you've done. Being one of the cornerstones of hip hop, having one of the greatest albums of the time with Criminal Minded. I mean, a lot of people's favorite artist was KRS-One back in the day, like that. You know what I'm saying? So he definitely probably should have just saved face and did it just to, you know what I'm saying, contribute to those that were there and who had been there with him going through the trenches. That's how I feel. But MC Hammer would have been a treat.
You ain't lying.
Up there with Isla Oakland and had on them dancers that he had paid too much money to, dancing real hard. That would have been solid.
Now I get why MC Hammer hasn't shown up. I get it, man. Because you know what? A lot of these people
hated on you.
But at the same time, like, but if without Hammer, like, you know, okay. I talked about this a little bit with shout out to Dart Adams, where he was talking about Hammer's contributions, but
yes.
And as far as how he set the template for a lot of rappers to get paid, because
yes.
Be clear, that's what Hammer did. You can Now, him dancing for popcorn chicken was a bit much.
I ain't need that.
Okay.
I didn't need that.
I didn't need that. But
I mean, Mary J sung for chicken sandwiches.
I mean, I didn't need that either.
Yeah, we didn't need that. But now when you see, you know, Sweetie and Travis Scott, everybody got their own personal happy meals for adults, you know, Megan Thee Stallion singing, you know, got special sauces, like, and nobody bats an eye. You know, we don't really have we can't be talking bad about Hammer and him introducing commercialism. Now, you know, he had his own sneaker deal. Now everybody wants a sneaker deal.
That's a good point.
You know, I can't exclude KRS-One, exclude MC Hammer just because people didn't rock with him, though. I mean, because we've argued that MC Hammer is a integral part of hip hop.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So again, for him to solidify himself as that, this is a reason to show up and prove to everybody why you were. Because when MC Hammer was out, man, you got to be lying or fronting if you said that you didn't rock with him before
somebody,
you
know, bought all them albums.
Exactly, before like the Adams Family and all that stuff happened, and when he went like super commercial. Other than that, man, I don't know anybody that was just like, ah, MC Hammer.
See, they try to play.
Other than other rappers.
If Hammer, you know, Hammer got on stage and he'd have done Let's Get It Started,
I'd have lost my mind.
It went nuts.
It went crazy.
Yeah. Turn his mother out. I'd have lost my mind.
He would have caught lightning in a bottle that night. I'm telling you, because everybody out there would have appreciated what he did.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Nah, Hammer's definitely the blueprint for a lot of the stuff.
Because
that
you can say what you want, but he sold all them records. There's somebody who is dyed in the wool of hip hop culture, and their first tape was MC Hammer.
But they try to play Hammer like he, to Terry's point, they try to play Hammer like he ain't have joints though. It's deeper than the super super commercial. We get all that part.
Yeah.
But Hammer actually had joints though.
The thing
out
about
the
Hammer
gate,
though,
Hammer had joints.
The thing about Hammer though is other rappers didn't like him.
Yeah,
and it didn't defer of his fans. Like, people still was like, I still rock with Hammer. They didn't care what third base was saying.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody cared. They still was like, all right, he's still that dude at the end of the day.
He's still bought them tickets.
He's entertaining. You know what I'm saying? MC Hammer was entertaining.
Now, the only thing with Hammer, I was like, when he thought he was big, he just became Hammer. And he took the MC off. He messed up. That was a mistake.
Yeah, that's a turning point.
Yeah, that's when he was.
MC Hammer sold, you know, them 12, 13 million albums.
That's when he wanted to be gangster. He moved to the funky headhunter.
Hammer was too legit to quit is when he decided to just be Hammer.
Yeah.
Too legit to quit was fire, though.
That wasn't bad.
It was heat on there.
But I'm just saying, like, when you think, okay, the MC puts me in the realm with all these other rappers, and I'm just Hammer now because I'm an entertainer, I'm more than a rapper, was a mistake.
I ain't necessarily mad at that. I'm more so the whole image change after that. So, like, when he went over to Death Row and his whole sound change, he was, you know what I'm saying?
But remember, Pumps and a Bump wasn't on Death Row. He was still on Capitol.
He was still running with like Suge and them at that time, though.
Hey, Suge and them were running with him. MC Hammer is the most dangerous person in the pictures.
He's not lying.
please believe it.
He's not lying.
That's why it was funny when rappers was messing with him, because I think Redman might have said something about
how
Hammer
really
together.
Wasn't no punk out here.
Yep. Hammer got him together.
Checked him at Yo MTV Rap. Was it Yo MTV Rap?
Yeah.
Checked him. Yeah, right on the spot.
Hit him with that, I heard them jokes was telling about me.
Hit him with the Mr. T voice.
Yeah. No, you didn't. Maybe I didn't.
So back to the topic.
How'd you beat me to it? Well, what you think about KRS, man? Have we covered everything? Do you care? That's what I want to know.
I think you're both wrong. I think he is absolutely correct.
Oh, you with him, 100%.
I'm with KRS.
Okay. Care to divulge?
So here's why I think.
All right.
Because who are the Grammys?
Well, we knew that was coming.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean.
No, I mean.
But
some
things are bigger than
I don't think
being
so.
The Grammys.
I don't think so.
Because it's giving you a platform to show grace to people that don't know who you are.
But you're utilizing the platform that is exploiting you. No. I 100% understand what he's saying. Like, if somebody who intentionally excludes us from the podcast shows and networks or whatever, right, comes out and then said, hey, we're having this celebration over here. You guys want to be a part of it? And then, okay, cool, we're a part of it. But then it goes back to exactly the same way it was before. That little bit of shine don't mean anything to me.
But what if it's not with them having Questlove?
They
got to
show and prove.
They got Questlove
and
LL Cool J as part of the people, like he was saying.
As the producers.
As the producers of the showcase.
For this.
But you don't know if they're still there or not.
I think they have
a couple years of consistency to prove that they will continue to do that.
Yeah.
That's the way that I stand with it.
Okay.
Now, at the same time, I do feel like KRS is coming from a selfish angle.
Okay.
Because he even said it in the, if you listen to it, he said, I am hip hop.
He did
you
say
did
that.
You did not invite me, therefore you did not invite hip-hop.
Well, that sounds like a KRS-One.
It does, it does. He's an I am the teacher, and I did, I'm saying, okay, now.
Yeah, that's a little extra.
That's extra. A little bit much, but all the points that he was making about, this is who you guys are, this is who you have been, you're going to all of a sudden come out on the 50th year, all of a sudden now Questlove and now LL Cool J are putting this together because it's the 50th? Nah, it's just, good for hip-hop and good for those that were a part of it.
Right.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that aspect of it that you guys were talking about. I think that's cool. It's just like, y'all want to do it? Cool. That's fine. You know what I mean? But at the same time, from where he's coming from, I actually stand more in line with his stance than the other stance. Yeah,
that's why I was kind of like, I get it both ways, but it was just an opportunity.
I think it's perfectly fine for all of them to do that, though.
So
I think
just to show up to it.
For sure. I think it's great that Questlove's a part of it now. I think this year or however it's going to be. And I think it's great that LL stepped up. And I think it was great that LL invited KRS. And I think all those things are great. But again, that's where it stops.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Three episodes in a row. Maybe I'll just start doing that.
That's where it stops. That's how you put a period on your segment. Be like, and that's where it stops.
That's where it stops. Yeah. Props, but that's where it stops.
Yeah. Well, definitely shout out to Boosie performing again. I think that was solid.
Has he just stopped performing?
I mean, he's never been to the Grammys.
I've never seen Boosie on anything.
Never seen him at the Grammys.
On paper, you would think Boosie's not supposed to be at that. So the fact that he was there and
performing on mainstream television.
Yes. So for him to
wipe
be
me
there,
down.
Yeah,
that's doing Wipe Me Down on
that's
CBS.
Huge.
That's crazy.
Bro, that's crazy. Huge. And Jay Moore, I think you alluded to it earlier when you were talking about his legacy. You have to mention Boosie.
Yeah, you got
to
mention Boosie.
You have to mention him.
I'm sorry, you can't. I know we may have said some things about Boosie on the show, just in jest, nothing really disrespectful, but when you play Set It Off and on any given situation,
come on now.
You know, that's one of them ones.
Especially in this city.
Yeah.
Well, shout out to Boosie. Shout out to everybody that went. KRS, we feel you. Lone feels you a lot.
No, just
pause.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. I think he stood on principle, and that's what I respect.
That's cool. He definitely stood on his principle.
I can dig it.
No, yeah. I mean, like, you know what? I said, to a certain extent, I understand. As a hip hop fan who is selfish, we talked about sometimes how we are selfish as fans. I thought it would have been dope to see KRS with the people, with the other architects.
Yeah. I think it would be. I very much desire a world where a lot more people and entities stood on principle. Definitely goes into it. I'm definitely super biased there. Well, so.
Yeah.
I respect it.
He could have used that platform to showcase principle.
He could have. It's a possibility.
Yeah, he could have just got up there and stood there and protested.
Could have.
And had a whole speech about it and dropped the mic and walked off.
And we'd be talking about it.
We definitely would be talking about that.
In the right way.
Got
up there and said,
in the right way.
Where are the graffiti artists? Where are the B-boys?
He said that.
You know, that's what I said. You know, he could have brought that point up on national television.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, he did say in his interview, before we close it out, he did say, if y'all ever see me at an event like this,
I'm burning it down.
Yeah, just know something's about to go down and y'all stay tuned.
So maybe he was being respectful.
Yeah, because he probably
maybe
showed
he said,
out.
You know, I don't want to do this. LL is a peer and somebody that I respect.
Yeah,
Quest he said Love, that. He said all that.
I don't want to do this to what they're trying to do.
If he'd have went, he definitely was going to show out.
No, he literally in the interview, he was like, good for them. I'm happy for it. But I'm no. You know how he does. No.
Hip hop would not be here if it wasn't for me.
Shout out to Slade. Let's try this.
You wait 49 years to call hip hop? What he said.
Hip
hop. Fam was a tad bit upset.
A little bit.
So long. I told you had a chance to work with a great legendary artist. You have vocals. You got beats. Everything is set up for you for the feature of your lifetime. These I'm talking about top tier OG status.
Okay.
Legends. If I was able to present that package to you and say, yo, all you need is a 16, everything else is set up, what would you say?
Cool.
That's it?
The way that you presented it, cool. Is there more to the presentation?
Would you take you got a full verse.
Okay.
Beats ready. All you have to do is insert yourself. Full song is cleared. You can use it.
All right. Sounds like a great deal for an artist.
Think so? Let's dive in.
Okay.
So there's this thing called, I'm going to make sure I say the name correctly. It's the Legacy Pack.
Okay.
Now this includes actual verses from legendary, I'm talking about DMX, Nate Dogg.
Rest in peace.
Big Pun, rest in peace. Big Pun.
Rest in peace.
Yep. And who else is
where are the other rest in peace at?
Hussein Fatal.
He's passed
from Outlaws. Yep. Sean Price.
Oh.
Is listed on here as well. Caught Me Off Guard was the first video that I saw on the website. It's Chris Rivers, Pun's son, basically backing this and, you know, saying you get a chance to work with my father. And there's verses and everything is cleared. And
father is dead, sir.
It goes through. I mean, that's what he said.
He doesn't even get to work with his father.
I know, right? But he's like, it goes through the estates of the families and everything. So Chris Rivers is basically saying this is a great product and you get a chance to, you know, be with the legends. Check it out. Someone sent this to me and was like, with the puke emoji.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I put it into our Discord. And I actually forgot about it. So shout out to Lone for reminding me.
This is very puke emoji.
Puke emoji-ish.
Absolutely.
So what do you think about this, Lone? Like, just on face value for what it is.
Well.
Because there's a lot to unpack here.
So what I would say is what you described earlier, which is what I'm thinking they're trying to sell this as.
That is exactly what they're selling it as.
Is not what this is.
There we go.
This is exploitation in the highest degree.
Talk to me.
This is so corny.
But didn't I set it up like they're trying to sell it?
Yeah, you did. This is super corny, man.
Super corny?
So you have a bunch of... So I'm guessing, are they exclusive? I looked at it a little bit ahead of time.
All I saw was the states are involved. Everything is cleared.
Oh, man. All right, so let me just set this up in general.
Okay.
In general, when this happens, if it's an exclusive verse that you can buy an exclusive verse from somebody, there are brokers out there that do that. They'll go and get a bunch of rappers... And they'll sell it to the rapper like, hey, give me a 16 and then I'll turn around and I'll flip them into leases or whatever. And then you can just buy it. So they end up selling that same verse to a bunch of different up and coming rappers. That is not cool. That is not good because this artist is going in there. This is bad on so many levels. The idea behind this is, hey, use this artist and boost your numbers. Because people are going to see that you did a song with Big Pun or you did a song with whomever, right?
That's how it's going to read.
Right.
Yes.
So then your numbers are going to boost. But you didn't work with said artist. You don't know said artist. You have no relationship with said artist. Said artist probably doesn't even know that you exist.
Definitely not.
Definitely not.
Especially if they have passed away. Like these specific artists. But this, what I'm saying is like this whole model is a thing anyways.
Right.
You know,
This isn't new.
This is not new. This has always been corny. Mm. The fact that they're doing it with artists that have passed away just makes it another step corny. To me.
An extra level.
It's extra, extra corny. And the way that they're selling it on this website, like it's like you get $2,759,000 worth of value for $137. It's like,
is that how much it costs?
I don't know.
But what he's talking about is those are the examples that they threw out there, like the value of the verses.
$202,000 worth of value for $197.
Yeah, that's kind of lame.
So is that... When I look at these numbers, okay, they said Sean Price artist features. That was they would have if they were live. Is that where they're getting that number?
My guess is they're probably fast forwarding it to what the value of the dollar is now.
Prorating, yeah. They want to do it for today's times.
Adjusted for inflation.
Yeah.
No,
I'm not going.
It's always because I'm one of those people that doesn't like posthumous albums. Mm-hmm. Like as far as I'm concerned. You know, when I see a song, I remember there's a song called Pox Life. And now I know what the original sounds like because it had a Prince sample in it.
You're talking about the one that had...
But it has like a Shanti on it.
I didn't like that record,
you know, whenever I start... At a certain point when I knew these weren't the songs that Pac actually did and they just went in there and tried to put some new sauce on them, I was like, you know, honestly, after Machiavelli, I'm pretty much done. Yeah. And it's the same thing with Notorious B.I.G. I mean, there was some stuff I kind of liked on Life.
Born Again.
Born Again. But, you know, it still doesn't have that same feeling. And it's just like, and once it got to the Biggie duets, I was like, please stop this.
Let this man, leave this man alone, man.
If it's a situation with artists who are still alive and they're able to actually, I would like for the artist to maybe be able to sign off on this because.
Exactly. You know, but they're not.
Now if they are alive and they signed off and said, okay, you can have these verses, these hooks. Okay.
That is
different. You sign that paperwork. And then if any sucker gets on and
but makes they're a suckers. Song. Makes but a, they are suckers. Let's keep that clear.
That's what you signed up for. But, you know. I mean, the only thing that I can see positive out of this is this is going to these artists' children because, you know, or families or whoever is next to kin. That's the only thing that makes me feel a little better about this. But, you know, just the fact that somebody from, you know, who just started rapping 2 weeks ago can get a Big Pun feature.
Yeah, it's kind of lame. You it's know, like Poser Mobile to in its finest. It's Malibu's Most Wanted written all over because anybody can ask mom and dad for Christmas, I want this pack because I want to record a song with such and such and I'm going to put it out next week. You know what I'm saying? It's just bad business. I ain't going to say it's bad business.
It's just,
I mean, it's actually good business for those that are going to spend the money and copy it and do whatever they're going to do with it. But as a fan
Of music and art
and part of the culture, to me it just doesn't sit right with me, man. Like if it's an artist like I said that is still alive even, and then they sign off on it, okay, that's cool. But imagine this pack going out and everybody has the same verse from the same artist. How do you decide which one is what? I mean, essentially, the artist's family or estate and whoever, they're going to eat off of it regardless.
True.
But I'm not trying to have the same verse that you got and you got and you got just for the sake of having that verse.
I got chills when you said the kid gets the pack for Christmas, goes into his room and records it and puts it out. That's literally how fast it works now. So you take a DMX acapella with a beat that's been provided, you put your 16 on it, and then you upload it and say, I have a feature from DMX in the same day.
Yeah.
It's giving people...
That's crazy,
bro. It's giving people the... It's one thing, like, and this is nothing like a remix, because with the remix, it's obvious that it's a remix.
Right.
Yep.
This is something to where you are literally taking something, and you are putting it out and selling it as if it's, like, part of...
that person's legacy.
Yeah. It's just, it's so foul. It's so foul on so many levels. And even the families that are a part of it, I think is foul.
And this,
don't ever do this with my music.
Yeah.
Ever.
And this is where you have to really start looking into when the devil's in the details. Okay. Say if I have the $197 I paid it, I can do what I want with it.
Right.
So say I start saying things on the record that I have with DMX or
Nate Dogg
that don't align with what their values were.
Yeah.
Like say I want to start rapping some crazy alt-right, you know, homophobic stuff. And then like, you know, I throw Sean Price on it. And then to people who don't know any better, that affects his legacy.
Yeah.
What if I want to get on there and start
Burning Dead ain't going for it.
Yeah, get on there and I start, you know, with some crazy, you know, anti-Semitic rhetoric and I'm like, yeah, and then I put, you know, Fatal Hussein on the joint, and then I also say, hey, you know, I paid my money. Let me go ahead and get
Big Pun.
Or, you know, and then like here it is, part of their legacy for people who don't know any better is tainted by your poison political ideology. Are there people with artistic expression and they have a love for these artists and they want to do something that could enhance their legacy? But there's so much room for abuse here that, you know, I don't know if you were going to do this, charge more than $197.
Yeah, because that doesn't even, to me, it kind of lowers the value of these verses.
It does.
Because you're pretty much putting a package together that has all of these verses on it. So I can just make a hodgepodge song featuring everybody on this in this pack and then just insert my song or my verse to it.
Yeah.
And we got a song. It's almost as bad or damn near the same as AI. Like you can use AI to make verses from any of these people too.
Yeah.
That's the next pack.
That's what I thought it was until I read it and found it was actually acapellas or whatever. But the point still stands, man. It's just,
how do you feel about it?
Me personally?
Yeah.
I think it's extremely weird. You guys have pretty much hit the nail on the head in terms of the dangers that could come from it, the misuse. I don't see it as a tribute. I see it more. I'm not saying someone may not do. Somebody might pull off a dope tribute record and make it sound right and line it up right, and it might be dope.
There's potential to do right here. But I think there's so much potential to do wrong.
I think that part of it outweighs it by a ton. And I think it's going to come off extremely corny when we start seeing the trash versions floating around. And this is going to start. It's going to look real bad, man. Like I don't know. I just don't.
I don't know why.
I'm not rocking with it.
I don't know why anybody would want a verse from another artist that's already been used before on your own stuff.
Right. Right.
Like, I've reached out to an artist before that I have a relationship with who got one of these verses from a pretty well-known artist.
Mm-hmm.
And I reached out to him. I was like, yo, I've heard this verse before. And for me, now maybe other people haven't. And maybe like the lowest common denominator doesn't know that this verse is on that other thing. And that's what you're going for. But like, I don't know. I don't. That's not how I live my life. Like, I'm not going to try to bamboozle people into. I don't know. It's just foul.
It's just weird, man.
It's weird, man. But hey, get it how you live at the end of the day, I guess. It's just. This ain't my cup of tea.
Nah.
I'm just not that person that wants to do a verse with like somebody that doesn't even know me or rock with me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If I was doing music like that. So I wouldn't want to have, even if not a personal relationship, at least a conversation with said artist.
True.
You know what I'm saying? To see where this is going, what we're going to do, not just a generic verse that I'm going to get on and rap on.
Now, if there's somebody that, you know, to Lone's point earlier, if there's somebody that's just looking to run it up, you got your formula.
There you go.
You got Wu-Tang, you got all the education you need this year.
Yeah, granted, I'm sure there's probably artists that if you reach out to them, they already got some tuck that they can pretty much give to you to use.
True.
But you're buying that verse. So essentially, if you're buying it from them, they can't use it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whereas this.
It's like the Nipsey verse that came out with Khaled.
The Nipsey verse that was on the Jay-Z record.
Yeah. In this case, it's pretty much verses just getting whored out, for lack of better terms.
Yeah. That's what it is.
I wouldn't want the Nipsey verse on the Judas soundtrack. I can't remember.
Judas and the Black Messiah.
Yes. Yeah. I don't want that. Just to be something in a pack that people can get and, you know, put a beat to it and just that meant that was perfect for exactly what it was. So, and it was meant to be that.
So what do you think the argument for them doing this is going to be?
The argument.
What's the response to our video?
Probably trying to keep the legacy alive.
Right. It's going to be heavy legacy talk.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be.
Families
with benefits, which we all agree is dope.
That's great.
We all agree that's dope. So we never said anything against that. That's dope.
No, I think that's the only one positive I definitely can see from this.
The only positive.
I mean, you could see someone say it's an honor to be able to work with someone like this, but you're really not. But I could still see somebody taking that role and saying, how many times are you going to get a chance to get your hands on one of these?
I guess I'm just not going to get my hands on one. That time has passed.
Exactly.
I can't do a song with Tupac because guess what?
Tupac
died in 96.
True.
Yeah.
I can't do a song with
him. I'm just telling you what one of the rebuttals might be.
I think it's
outside
going,
of the first
I think it's going to be almost mostly families.
Yeah. You think that's going to be the majority of it?
I think they've already thought about this.
Okay.
I think this is probably the response they know.
There's probably rebuttals already ready for it.
No, and I think, you know, the Big Pun's son who's listed here, you know, there's going to be other people like, hey, don't take food out of our mouths. And
he sounded very energetic in the video, though. I ain't going to hold you.
Mm-mm. You know.
He probably got paid to say that, too.
Yeah, maybe he did.
Come on now.
hey!
I'm just saying.
I mean, like I said, the things I'll get excited about, and I don't really care nothing about.
Hey, get it? Like I said, at the end of the day, get it how you live.
Get it, bro.
I'm not mad.
Yeah.
I'm more so pointing the finger at the people that are buying these packs,
mm-hmm.
And making the songs and thinking that they got something exclusive. Because when I see somebody that puts out a song, even it doesn't have anything to do with these packs, and it says featuring said artist, and I'm thinking in my head, you know how much money it costs to get that said artist on that track
in real life,
and you're saying this is featuring that artist?
It's not a feature.
Okay, that's probably a throwaway verse from somewhere that you paid for just to be able to say that this is featuring said artist.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
And plus, look.
I hate this commercialized part of the business.
Yeah, there was
makes it.
What's his name?
Nothing bad.
I can't believe I said what's his name. But Joe Budden.
Yeah.
He's like, look, man, when people would be like, yo, can you come and drop a verse, like they might have done a show somewhere? And they say, and rappers will tell you, it's like, we do not give you any heat. We just are there for that. That if you got $5,000 for us to wrap over your foolishness, then yeah, go ahead and take that. Mm-hmm. You know, the stuff that we really think is good, we keep to ourselves.
Right.
You know,
unless they really rock with you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, I think it would maybe be different if said artists literally recorded a whole bunch of verses to sell to people
that are just sitting around that were purposely for selling being sold, right?
Yeah. So okay. If it was, let's say, I don't know, I'm just using a random name. Let's say it was Sky Zoo, and he's like, you know what? Here's a business model. I'm going to go ahead and make a whole bunch of 16s, and then I'm going to market them in this particular type of way. I think that's different.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was saying like, it's probably artists to have verses sitting around, mm-hmm. and you pretty much buy it from them, and you do whatever you want, but they're not recycling it. Yeah. Once you bought it, it's yours, essentially. You know what I'm saying?
That's the part, because there are going to be so many duplicates of this, and it's going to get... I don't know.
Maybe, man. With the way content is flowing, they don't think it matters. I don't know. And maybe it doesn't, but...
Boy, this would be a mess back in LimeWire days.
Just man.
Trying to download this track. God.
Man.
You just wanted to get that one artist that was featured on there, and you didn't download 10 of them.
Imagine if they did this with Dilla's catalog.
Oh, you my
know, like,
God.
Or something like that. Like,
you know what? You say that, but don't think it might not be coming.
Somebody's probably trying to...
I'm okay with, like, people that knew Dilla... like Busta Rhymes or something, dropping a track that's got some...
That is completely different.
That's different because there was a personal relationship involved there, and you know that they knew each other.
If Busta Rhymes says, I'm behind this, I knew Dilla, and I feel like this is something... I know his mama, and I feel like this is something that he would have rocked with or something, I got to take that at face value.
Yeah.
Like, I've really been around him. Like, you knew him.
Yeah, I purchased one of the albums from his... album collection just to support his estate, essentially. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if money went straight to his mother.
Well, you know what's crazy is, like, now I think about it, and you said, oh, they're going to, what if they did this with Dilla? One of Dilla's beats, you know, at least the part of it, is in the new Puff Daddy, well, not new, but, or Diddy or Love album, whatever.
You know? Oh, see, that's another thing, too, because I feel like he should have used some Dilla joints long time ago. With it being Diddy. You know what I'm saying? You should have been hip to him. It's almost like, I got to do this now because...
It's way too late.
Heads know who Dill is.
Nobody cares.
Exactly. Yeah. It's way too late.
Nothing authentic about that.
Yeah. To me, it feels...
And it's actually
feels
a decent
same.
Album.
But it's about like this.
It feels very similar. You know?
You need to be pulling Dilla back in like 02, fam. Like,
man,
he was around
his whole career.
Yeah, like we need you to be bigging up Dilla and sampling Dilla back then, bro.
I mean, Dilla was on... Tribe joints before Diddy was big, so
I'll just say that this sits really bad with me. I don't like it.
I was surprised when they said there are beats involved too. So we just gonna go ahead and set the whole table for you. All you gotta do is go to your room, lay something down real quick, and
somebody from Carmel was about to have a lace tape.
I swear.
All right, yeah. We'll see.
What if you get a little Ugly Toes song featuring Sean Price?
Man, come on!
I'm not gonna be able to stomach that.
Young Fentanyl was done. Nate Dogg is gonna be crazy.
Yeah, I don't deserve that, man.
Yeah,
who would have thought?
Who would have thought
this is what the game would come to?
Yeah,
yeah. We old enough to see it.
Yeah, in real time.
Some things, even though you can do them, you just shouldn't.
Yeah.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
All right, so the homie Ninth Wonder, I told y'all earlier, when legends talk, I tend to listen.
Okay.
Ninth Wonder is a legend. We all agree, right? Legendary producer. So he talked about some of the things that scare him about hip hop. This was an interview. I saw it on a short on YouTube. I think he makes very good points with his conclusion.
We'll see.
But let's play the video and we'll discuss like always.
All right. Let's go ahead and switch over to this mode. Oh, I clicked the wrong one, but it's all right.
Full screen?
Yeah, do the full screen mode. Is this it? Yep. Let me refresh here.
Brother.
Let me refresh and turn the volumes on.
I don't know if some kids want a 10
I don't know if we can play this video because there's music behind it and it sounds like it's a ninth beat.
You know,
that's deep.
Oh, and the reason why is because there's so many other ways to make money.
Right.
There's so many other ways to make, you know, lots and lots.
La, 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 la.
But it's not the ending.
It is not the ending. It's not the end game. So they're coming into this and they're staying 2, 3, 4, 5 years, maybe.
But what's that going to do to the music? Right, if you don't have people invested in the long
thank you, Long.
As we proceed,
will it be a generation of kids that come along that really want to come along that really want to take it back to?
Right.
We're gonna just forget all
of it. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yes, sir.
I see. I know.
I got the gist of what he said. I got the gist of what he said.
So basically, he's talking about, you know, artists not wanting to even have 5, 10, 15 year careers.
I wasn't really hearing it because it was so much going on.
I got you, bro.
It was weird. I had to listen and try to put drops
Jay
in
Moore
it.
Jay Moore turned it into coaches as we proceed.
Yeah.
But look, Ninth is basically saying that artists now don't look at careers from a 5 to 10 year goal.
15 year
goal. Because there's so many more ways to make money associated with hip hop. And he's like, his fear is that may, you know, that deterring them from focusing on their craft, you know, that's going to, it's going to have ramifications down the road.
Right.
So I actually agree with him. But there's two parts to it because what do we always say? The conversation becomes evolution versus what am I looking for? Long, help me out. The opposite. Evolution.
Procrastination.
All I hear is that beat in my head
right now.
Ding, 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 ding.
But I think
evolution versus de-evolution.
There we go. Thank you. I couldn't think of it. Thank you, my brother. I think he's right from an approach standpoint because everything is so microwave now. Get in, you get out. It's a hustle. And there's so much more. There's so many more ways to make paper associated with hip hop. Well, what do y'all think?
A lot of that has to do with a loss of the love of the art of actually doing hip hop or music in general.
Right.
As more people see it as a cash grab, to be an influencer, so to speak, or to be popular, that's more so what they're shooting for. They're shooting for making that one flash or one hit that they can move on from. You know what I'm saying? It's not the same thing as, like we talked about Michael Jackson, the making of Thriller. You know what I'm saying? He aimed to make a project that every song on there hit. Like it was about constructing an album. When you talk about artists now, nobody thinks of the construction of an album. They think of what hit can I make that is either going to get played on the radio or turn into a TikTok song.
Go viral.
Or go viral, essentially. You know what I'm saying? It's not a cohesive or any love involved in the making of these projects. And I could be wrong, but that's just what I see.
Well, I think we could even step it away from just projects, sans projects completely, just the music, because people are just looking to make content.
Right.
For content's sake instead of making art for art's sake. And there's always been a marriage between the two ideas, but this, I've never actually heard anybody explain it the way that Ninth actually did. With that conversation, I think there is some merit to it.
I do too.
And I think it's scary from an art perspective because, you know, it's capitalism. Again, it's one thing when capitalism is kind of merged with the product and whatever, but it's another thing to say like this is the result of capitalism in the arts. It's like, no, we're going to turn this art form the best that we can into a product to make money because the barrier for entry is so low that anybody can do it. You know, it's just
kind of similar to our last conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
I think he made to your point about him explaining it, the way he broke it down, spot on, man. What you think, Jay Moore?
Well, no, look, we've talked about this, you know, the difference between being an artist and being a product. You know, that's been a kind of a running theme for the last month for us.
Well, it presents itself so much in today's culture. Like, you know, we run into it a lot.
And we just talked about, you know, MC Hammer and the fact that, like, you know, he was the kind of the first to, like, honestly, in a good and bad way, lay a blueprint, for rappers to get paid outside of waiting on them royalty checks and
show money,
show and publishing money.
Oh, I had that comment tucked. I just didn't mention it.
If I can get a quick viral moment and then I can get a happy meal deal. And then I can get a shoe deal, and then maybe I can, if I'm a female artist, because I saw this female artist, I've never heard any of her music, but I know she's getting all this money off of OnlyFans. If I can run that up to where I can make a couple $1 million in, you know, 2 or 3 years, yeah. Like, I'm not worried about being invited to Hip Hop 75 because it doesn't mean anything to me. I'm not here for that. I'm not here to be an artist that is respected by, you know, my other peers who actually take this seriously. I'm here to get this money and potentially get out. You know, so we have so many artists who are artists right now. I don't want to discount them.
That's a good point.
Just because
that's a good point.
Like I said, once again, it goes back to the argument, you know, what I said a few shows ago about, we talk so much about the problem children in the overcrowded classroom, you know, that we ignore the kid that turns in his homework every day on time and, you know, actually raises his hand when he's asked a question and gets the answer right. You know, so with all of this, when we talk about product, we talk about artists. Okay, I almost admire the artists who are like, look, I'm here for a good time, not for a long time.
At least I can respect you.
At least let us know that, and that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, we're not, you know, don't get me wrong. What's Ice Spice? She's got her Dunkin' Donuts deal. She's doing what she's doing. But as people who've been observing this culture for the time that we have, and have made and commented and been a part of it in a tangible way, we know what it is. We see she's here for a good time, not for a long time.
Yeah.
Okay. And she seems to have embraced that. So fine, let them have that lane. But at the same time, we have to, as you know, arbiters of the culture, we still have to make sure that we show love and give light to those who are actual artists.
Say, man, that's good stuff right there. I don't think I have anything else I can add.
And not to, you know, just single out Ice Spice, because she's not the only one.
I said that everybody
who's got your little Happy Meal deals, and I'm not singling out Happy Meals or whatever.
You got them little Happy Meal deals.
You know, there's probably 600, you know, there's probably six figures behind that for you to get into.
Probably more than that.
Might be more than that.
With these multinational food conglomerates, and that's great. There's a reason why you're not taken seriously all the time.
At the end of the day, it's just not for the love of the music or the art. Simple as that. They're here to get their peas off and get a bag, so to speak, and get out the way. And hopefully it transforms into maybe a career in acting or something else like that. That's kind of what they see. They want to be more popular. It's more so a
fame.
Yeah, fame.
Once again, there are people who would rather be famous than respected.
Whole lot of that.
That's the generation. That's the time that we're in right now.
At the same time, like, you know, what's really sad is when you see how a lot of these record deals are set up and a lot of these sponsorship deals are set up. And this is going across the board. This is what I've seen in the new generation. If I'm going to be the old head, you know, trying to talk to people, you know, a lot of you would rather be famous than rich, because you signing your life over for, you know, I've said it before, the 50 pieces of silver. And they're making all this off of you, but you get to be famous.
Yeah, popularity is a hell of a drug.
You know, you get to run your numbers up on Instagram. You don't have to work. You know, now it's more than just the fake followers that you bought, because a lot of you are doing that.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't realize. Trust me, I realized that's a problem out here.
No, that's a real thing.
You know, some of you got 100,000 followers, and I look on your page, and it's like, well, why did only 25 people like that picture you took?
Yeah, it's all smoke and mirrors.
So it's all point. It's you know.
That's why I agreed with KRS.
Brought it back to KRS.
Oh, that's...
I'm just saying.
There you go.
That's literally why I do. It's because of that.
KRS would rather take stand on business, as the kids say, than take that 4.5 minutes of fame that he gets on CBS. I get it.
I love your point, Jay, about the artist being honest about who they are.
Mm-hmm.
I can vouch for that.
At least this is the Donald Trump era at this point.
Huh?
Everybody wants to be honest about everything now, because they think that actually gets them more acclamation at the end of the day, whether they believe it or not.
Well, it's not the Donald Trump era in Colorado.
Not that it matters. But
why you say Colorado like that, man?
I was just trying.
Because that's how he's going to say it.
Add emphasis, man. Sorry.
Well, shout out to the OG, man. Shout out to Ninth. Ninth, I think you are on the money on this one, buddy. So,
yeah, buddy.
We're going through it now, so we'll see how it works and continue to watch, because it always changes. So,
are we going to monitor this?
No, I'm not monitoring this. No.
You got a ticker on?
No, I don't have a ticker on this. I'm
Remember, we're at the end of 2023, and we've seen a lot of foolishness when it comes to this music. I wonder what 2024 holds.
I made the
worst. I don't know, man.
Remember last year, I made
don't
the
make
worst.
Me think about that.
I made the worst prediction of all time.
What was that?
Yeah, I remember. Didn't you say that?
I said I thought people were going to be grow tired of fashion hoe rap, and then here comes Sexy Red.
Mm.
Can we give Scarface his flowers real
Absolutely.
Quick for this tiny desk, man? His tiny desk was amazing. And you know, we talked about on a previous episode how some of the OGs are aging. We talked about Blockbuster, right? Remember we had a discussion about that? It just shows you two different angles of this thing, because I saw a grown man with a live band performing classic records.
And still sounded the same.
It still sounded the same. Mike Dean on the keys on the synth took it over the moon to me. Singers, the backup
singers.
Because
he was actually
there. He was actually there when they were making those records.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to see that come full circle, it's just dope seeing a legend aging gracefully. Like, now, if he did that and took that on the road, I'd be there for that.
This
I
is
would
a
100%
true testament of why, they did White Iverson. Didn't know what he was talking about when he said that hip-hop has no depth or emotion.
Post Malone?
Post Malone, that guy.
Yeah,
because when you talk about Scarface in general,
mm-hmm.
every one of his hits contain emotion and inflection and put you in a, you know what I'm saying, it puts you there. It puts you in a place of reflection almost. Like every one of his, well, most of his songs, I'll say that because I can't say F Faces is
no,
one of those songs.
Man, no, I got
But
you.
As
got
a
you.
Whole, Scarface is an artist that embodies that type of sound that can evoke emotion out of you. You know what I'm saying?
This performance highlights that
mm-hmm.
more than I've seen, man, in a long time.
Because it's real music.
Exactly. He kept, you could see him getting excited and getting emotional about what Terry just said. He's like, man, it's something about that real music. He kept saying it over and over again. Because to the band's credit, whoever, I did not look at the credits. Because, you know, NPR, they'll tell you who's yes. on bass, who's on keys. But I knew Mike Dean was there. But, man, the music, to hear that replayed, it was beautiful, bro. And the way that he delivered it, just flawless, man.
I mean,
it goes exactly against everything that Post Malone said.
Look, I started seeing because clips of it when I woke up this morning.
Yeah,
and I was like, you know what? I need to wait until like at least the afternoon. I can't do this first thing in the morning because Scarface is always his music has always had a very emotional hold over me.
That's how I would describe this tiny desk.
Absolutely,
I think I've said it on the show, if not me on offline. I remember it wasn't that long ago. I listened to This Can't Be Life.
Yeah.
Off of the Dynasty record. And just sometimes things hit you differently once you've been through certain things in your mm-hmm. life. And like, I listened to that record and started crying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because when I first heard it, you know, it was just a dope record. But I've lived a lot more life since then.
Yeah.
And I can relate to some of the feelings and the things that he's talking about in that record and the things that I've had to experience, not only personally, but through my friends' losses and the things that they've had to go through.
Yeah.
And it just struck me one day and I just couldn't stop crying.
Nah, you 100% correct, because you know, when I heard him tell that the actual story, you know, about him in the studio and getting a call and all that, it's like, man, I've lived it long enough now to have received that call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it does hit different, Jay. Like the records that we grew up on, as we mature and we get older, they grow, like the meaning grows as well. It changes. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I could easily see you getting teared up just going back to a certain time in your life. You got that call.
Absolutely. So even Smile does that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even without, you know, the whole situation with Tupac being gone right before it was released. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But just the message in that song, man, it is. He has a lot of songs that do that, hands down.
Yeah.
So,
you know, just My Block.
Yeah,
My Block.
Come on now,
it's real.
My Block is phenomenal.
And this is why sometimes, like for the youngsters who are listening to us, this is why it's so hard for us to respect for what some of y'all are doing.
That's what I'm saying. And you know what? It's
not that there weren't people doing foolishness when we were out, but then we had Scarface to look.
Thank you for saying that.
Scarface was a gangster at the end of the day,
right?
And he still had heartfelt music. But this is what I think about when I see performances like this. Because this is about a, what, 30, 35-year career, maybe even longer than that, maybe 40 years.
Either. It's 30 plus.
Long sure. time. Yeah, long Ghetto time. Boys came out in like the late 80s.
80s, yeah.
But when I hear the newer stuff, and I hate to keep sounding like that old dude.
But that's what we are.
Yeah, at the end of the day. But how is that going to transcend when it comes time for them to do their Tiny Desk? Like, are you going to feel anything from that? Or
it's going to feel like when Genius will have Scarface breakdown lyrics, and then they'll have like Sexy Red breakdown lyrics. It's like, I don't need a deep analytical dive into Sexy Red's lyrics. There's nothing deep going on here.
Right, right. Yeah.
But luckily so far, NPR has been very, there's been a lot of quality control.
Yeah.
In I that tiny desk.
Whoever is in charge of doing these Tiny Desks is doing an absolutely phenomenal job.
Absolutely.
I'll just say that.
And it was dope to hear. You know, I never know what the audience consists of. I don't know if it's, you know, some of the artists might be like, yo, I'm performing in D.C. I got a tiny desk. They gave me X amount of tickets where y'all can come in. Or is it just the staff? Or is it just, I don't know if they do a raffle. I'm not sure. But it was so dope to see Scarface performing and hearing the crowd sing the lyrics back to him.
And actually getting on the bass.
Yeah, like he had the bass in his hand as well. And he also was conducting and pointing out and arranging, you know, more, I need the snare here a little bit more. Can you play this way? Or let's turn this down, while he's talking to the crowd.
And playing the keys a little bit.
So that part of it made me respect him from a musician standpoint and from just an overall creative. Because it's deeper than just him going in there and telling the stories. You can see that Scarface is one with his music. That's what was on display here. That's why this was so dope. You know what I'm saying? That's why he's one of the goats. I would definitely suggest this. But like Jay Moore said, don't play around with it. Like, just soak the whole thing up and actually watch it. You know, in the right space or whatever that space is for you. Just let that thing run, man. You know what I'm saying? Because I was highly impressed. Highly impressed. Might be the best one I've seen. I don't know. There's so many of them, though, and they go back so far.
No matter. We don't have to compare. But it was a good one.
It was a good one, man.
It stands on its own.
I haven't seen it all the way through. I only saw like a small bit.
Yeah, I watched the rest of it.
But you could tell what we're talking about, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, if you weren't a fan, maybe it made you a fan. If you've been a fan like I have and spent money on this band's records, went to go see him last time he came to town.
Yeah, I've seen him a few times.
You know, and Scarface has been through, you know, COVID and all the kidney transplants.
Yeah, man,
you know,
it's good to see that he's healthy.
I'm just glad to see he's still here because he's been through a lot. He's been through a lot.
Yep.
He brought his son out, too.
He spoke highly of his son's musical talent. He said that he's better than him.
And Mike Dean said this dude has been in the studio since he was like three.
Yeah.
So he's been following his dad around this whole time. He might be a beast. And he said that what was dope was Scarface said, I'm going to play y'all one of his records, you know, and, you know, after we get off or whatever. And if y'all want to record it, that's cool. So he's trying to, you know, throw his son a lot, which I think is dope as well. You hear Mike Dean, somebody like that, say this kid is talented. He must be doing something right.
Yeah, Mike Dean's worked with a lot of people.
He has, man. He's just killing that synthesizer, bro.
Was that his origin story? Scarface and him?
Is
that Mike Dean's origin story?
Like the first artist he worked with?
Like big artist?
I'm not sure.
Because I've always wondered where he like originated and kind of came from, you know?
But now Scarface was pretty much saying like a lot of these songs, Mike Dean was there making these songs with him. It's almost like he was like, I would play this and then Mike Dean would do what he does. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, so that's, I didn't know that him and Mike Dean worked together like that.
I didn't even know that either.
And from what Scarface was talking about, like Terry said, they've been together for a long time on a lot of these records that we love. I'm looking at his credits now. And
yeah, it's like mid-90s.
Okay, I got to do my research on Mike Dean.
Bushwick Bill, UGK, Willie D, Fifth Ward Boys. So yeah, he's been around.
So he must be from Texas then.
Yeah. Huh? It's a lot of Texas placements, if you will, on this list. No, shout out to FaZe, man.
Pimp C, he got stuff with Pimp C, Zero.
Yeah.
Man, that's crazy.
Oh, he's definitely in the mix then.
Yeah.
My buddy,
had no idea.
Buddy nice on them keys, though. I ain't gonna hold you.
Good. He good. That boy good.
What is this Michael Rapaport thing?
What do you do now?
I saw a clip.
Yeah, didn't we just talk about Rapaport. Him?
Yeah, I shared that video of him getting hit with a snowball.
Oh, yeah.
I like how proper you said that. Getting hit with a snowball.
Yeah.
There was a video that surfaced, and who knows if it's trolling at this point, where he was basically talking about ripping Kanye for something.
Oh, it's about his rant
Was that what it was?
You know what? I'm so exhausting.
And people were in the comments like, why does this dude always have to say something about people that are associated with hip hop?
You know I'm mad.
People were on his head like, why does this dude always have to say something about somebody? And it usually tends to be a high profile athlete or a hip hop artist all the time. He always has something to say.
He came out and had a lot of things to say about he's very pro-Jewish. Let me not even say that. He's very pro-Israel. There we go. Because there's two different things. Exactly. It was a slip intentional, so I can clarify it so everybody knows that those are two different things.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's... Yeah.
He's always been that person, I think. But he's always been that person to me, though. It's like, you always got something to say about hip-hop culture or... Black athletes or something like that. Why you always got something to say?
He hated Porzingis too. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember
well,
that.
That's when he a came New York Knicks.
Yeah, I know.
That's Knicks
still.
But dude always got something to say
poor
about
poor fingers. What? Who is this guy? What
turned out to be good.
What he call him? It was bad.
Oh, he was. It was bad. It was really bad. Yeah, bro.
He's balling in Boston this year.
Yeah,
but yeah, man, he always got something to say. They was chopping him up in the comments, and it's not even about the people that were in the comments were like, I might not agree with Kanye either, or I might not say Kanye is the brightest. Whatever, but why are you always the one that's coming out trying to diss somebody and got something to say?
And it's
about
not even
somebody.
Like because I'm not white. One of the people that just don't like Michael Rapaport, but he's very annoying.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? He's very annoying. And it's like sometimes you should just shut up, man.
He speaks like he's the expert from all angles,
yeah. on everything, all the time. Yeah. on everything. Yeah.
The Palestine stuff, I was like. It was even
man,
more.
I checked out on a whole lot of people during this whole
I was like, you just need to sit down.
A whole lot of people I checked out on because, I don't know. I'm going to just leave it at that.
I scroll because on my...
shout out to Kanye West being upset that the Backstreet Boys wouldn't clear his sample.
That song is, man, that is not going to be the one that gets you to hit.
Yeah.
If anything, you know what I'm saying?
Or Nicki Minaj. She's all mad. She didn't clear it either.
Nah, she had one too? I haven't listened
wouldn't
to it.
Wouldn't clear his 3-year-old song that he, you know.
She was like, that time has passed.
And wow. I agree with her.
Yeah, I ain't mad at it, but now he's saying that the album is going to come out New Year's Eve.
I don't care.
We'll see.
Yeah, don't care.
I didn't stay up to listen to it when I thought it was coming out.
That's a real comment right there.
That's a real comment right there.
I'm over it.
I don't care. Whatever.
If you don't know Lone by now,
you'll never, ever, ever know him.
If you don't know me by now.
All right.
What is that, the Michael McDonald version? Yes. Like,
you'll never, y'all gonna be there.
That is so far away from the real one.
Somebody shouts to the commenter. He's in our YouTube comments, and I can't remember his name, but he's been on. He's commented on YouTube and both Bring Down the Band and New Old Heads. He said, "Man, it's almost like Lone doesn't care about anything." And I replies like, "Man, it's almost as if you watch the show."
Hey, yo, shout out to that person for actually paying attention and rocking with us. That's how we know he's locked in.
That's why I answer certain things he says, but yeah. It fits, you know. I'm sorry. But anytime the Grammys come up, we already know where Lone
know,
stands.
We know where our brother's going.
Yeah.
You are who we thought we were.
Yeah.
Was who I was before you got here.
Before I got here. NewOldHeads.com for all the education that you need this year. If you see it, like it, subscribe, sign up for it. Patreon, $3 holla. Shout out to the chat. We appreciate you if you stuck around. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Yeah.
Bye.